When did you start loving agriculture?
Probably from, I mean, I can't think of a time in my life where I have not been around agriculture. From the time I was born, my dad farmed full time. So I was exposed to it growing up constantly. I never went to daycare or anything like that. I went with my dad on the farm every single day. From, you know, the time, basically to the time I was in, out of diapers, he took me everywhere with him on the farm, that he could.
What would that have included?
Everything. So we raised tobacco. We also had hogs as well. Some wheat, a little bit of row crops, corn. So just doing everyday chores on the farm, cutting hay, baling hay. I remember, my first time really operating the square bale, I could barely reach, the pedals, and it was on a 2240, and I pushed the clutch and didn't push the brake, and I took off rolling, and I was going, headed towards the lake. My dad had to jump off the wagon and get up there and stop me. So that was kind of my first memory, and he had me doing it. He let me do everything on the farm and had me do everything on the farm. The only thing he would not let me do was cut tobacco. He was not a fan of me doing that, would let me, you know, help in the barn housing, strip tobacco, set tobacco, drop sticks, whatever. But I guess he was worried I would get, you know, hurt, doing that. I don't know. There's much more dangerous things, I think, than, you know, using a spear and cutting tobacco. But, that was one of the things he was like, that's the only thing you're not allowed to do. But operating any other piece of equipment, you know, skid loader, anything I could drive, he had me doing. I remember driving a pickup truck at 8, and that's when I had my first and only car accident. I hit a garage that we had, an old block garage. I didn't realize it was in gear, and, you know, I could barely reach the pedals, but he's like, go down the house and get the truck and bring it up here. So the only thing it tore up was the grill on it, and that was an easy replacement with that type of truck. So, yeah, just I've spent my whole entire life exposed to it.
So if I ask now, you're married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What enterprises do you and your husband have?
So we're a very diversified operation. We have beef cattle. We have hogs. We, farrow to finish our own hogs. And then recently this year we started, finishing hogs for Nyman Ranch, and it's sold to Whole Foods. So they're raised a lot like what we do in our original operation, and we still have that going. It's mainly for freezer pork, and then we have a lot of people that purchase hogs, you know, straight from the farm. So now we're up to about 1,000 head of hogs, and we raise those in hoop barns, and they're deep bedded. I also raise Southdown baby dolls, which are miniature sheep. They kind of look like teddy bears, and I have 64 ewes, and I've shipped those all over the country. They're registered. A lot of people want them for showing or breeding, and I really enjoy sheep. Growing up, my dad would never let me have sheep, and then when my husband and I got married, for our first year anniversary, he made the mistake of getting me a sheep, and then it's just grown from there. So we have sheep. We also have, I have a few alpacas. I also have some miniature donkeys, and I have a zebra. That's probably the coolest thing I have on the farm.
Stripes.
Yes, stripes. Everybody's like, is that a painted horse? And it's not. It's a zebra. So she's pretty entertaining, but I always loved animals, and I thought, you know, maybe I wanted to be a veterinarian originally, but that's where my passion for the animal side of things come from. But as far as crops go, we still raise tobacco. We have corn.
You get to cut now?
No, I don't really want to now. I get to set and, you know, all the other fun parts of it, drop sticks and all that good stuff. And we have some row crops as well. So a little bit of everything. We're very diversified.
So your husband's name is?
Daniel.
Okay. So did Daniel know that you were into farming, and did you know he was into farming and was farming a part of the nuptials, or did this come along after?
So we went to high school together. We're high school sweethearts and started dating. We've been together 20 years now, but we started dating in high school, and his dad was actually a train engineer, and he farmed a little bit on the side. They mainly did some hay, nothing near as much, you know, as my dad farmed full time. So, you know, we started dating, he would come over a lot and get exposed to everything that was going on. And my dad would give him some of the worst jobs, especially in the hog operation, you could have. So he got exposed to it really quick. And, you know, we both kind of knew that was the direction that we wanted to go and understood. That's been one really good thing about our marriage is he's understood, you know, the farming side. I have too, because I had a father who grew up and, you know, you can't always make dinner plans and you can't always do the things you want to do. There's certain things that come before that. So it was kind of a natural fit. We're blessed that it was so natural. That just makes everything a little bit easier.
I was just curious whether this was something that he knew and you knew what you were getting into, because now you're really into it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this just in a side note. There was a period of time that I dated the daughter of a hog farmer and I went to spend time with him, over a weekend on a Saturday, and he gave me the job of spreading honey.
Mm-hmm.
There was a leak. You know, it was not exactly the pristine operation that some would paint it to be. And I guess he thought it would run me off, but he came to check on me and I was in hog heaven. I had my own tractor, I had a job, I had a field.
Yeah.
I was good. This was great. So apparently your husband passed the test with your dad.
Yeah, he actually, the hog barn I grew up, was more of a traditional confinement operation that had pits, and we had a pig in the nursery that had gotten out and was in the pit. So he made my husband crawl on his hands and knees under there to get the pig. And then when he brought it to him at the end, he dropped the pig again and let it go loose. He's like, I'll show you now. And then he ran the scraper and the pig came to the front and he grabbed it. So he basically made him do that for nothing, just to see if he would do it. So, and he stuck around.
And he passed the test.
Yeah, he passed the test.
You're probably cheap labor too.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now let's talk about, this role that you play with vocational agriculture, mm-hmm. In the Commonwealth. It's not what it used to be, and that's not a bad thing, because there's more people involved in vocational education, and there's a lot more young women that are mm-hmm. involved in FFA now than there was at one time. How do you see your role assisting in growing the next generation of leaders for Kentucky Ag?
Well, I guess I'll start with, I'm the first female to serve in this role. So that's kind of unique and special. And we've seen an increase in women across the board in FFA, in agriculture, even as ag teachers. We now, in the state, if you look at how many females we have more female ag teachers teaching than we do males. It's pretty close, but there's actually more. And I think from this row, leaving the classroom to this row, the impact is even greater than what I had. I previously taught at Seneca here in Louisville. So I had a direct influence over agriculture in the city of Louisville and the students that I served. But now I can have that influence across the board. And a lot of the work that I do is with professional development for the teachers. So being able to work with them and improve their skills so that they can go back to the classroom and then have the impact, you know, on 100 students in the room that they have every day. So that's a different perspective that I've kind of had to wrap my head around, coming from the ag classroom, where you can see the direct impact that you have every single day.
So the owl is a time-honored emblem of knowledge and wisdom. Being older than the rest of you, I'm asked to advise you from time to time. Do you want to, like, revise that script about the part being older than the rest?
Well, I guess when you look at it from the student perspective, I'm really old, you know. So I think for students, if you're over 50, you're ancient. You know, you're just almost dead. And then if you're over 20, you're old compared to them. So that part really doesn't bother me.
Okay. I just wondered, because I was thinking to myself, okay, all my advisors have been old.
Yes.
They were old.
Mine was too.
They were old guys. Mm-hmm. And when they spoke, it was like ancient. Like,
yes.
Being older than the rest
yes.
of you. I'm asking, you know, I could get that. So now it's a different,
a different feel probably when I do it, since I'm not as old, I guess.
So how is it when you gather with the agriculture generation in Rupp Arena in the summer, or when you go to Indianapolis and you're in the auditorium with the future of agriculture? Because I remember in 1984, when I got my American degree, Steve Meredith was the national president from Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a political satire that was in the Kansas City paper. and it was Steve standing at the podium, and Municipal Auditorium was empty because he said there's no future in agriculture. You have seen the challenges of agriculture. Mm-hmm. Is there a future in agriculture?
Oh, absolutely. I think more than ever, just from my experience teaching in an urban area, we have so many students that if you can gain that interest and get them excited about it, they see the value in it, and they want to do that. And people are always going to eat. It's kind of like the healthcare industry. We have, you know, people are always going to be sick. They're going to need to go to the urgent care or to an ER. And in agriculture, people eat three times a day. So the need for food's there. The need for technology is there. If you look at, you know, just how people treat their pets, you know, that's a need with veterinarians in the state. So I think the job outlook is really good. And with agriculture education, it's extremely good. I think back when I started teaching, we were right around 260 ag teachers. And now we're at 325, and it's grown that much. In the last several years, it's just grown at a really rapid rate. We're seeing more middle school programs in the state. We're also seeing more agriculture programs like at Seneca. I was there by myself, and then now there's three teachers. So the need for that just continues to grow, and that's just one example with the education side of things, but we see that across the board in every aspect of agriculture.
So as an educator of educators, how do you connect the dots between a young adult in a classroom and an industry that doesn't have enough graduates to satisfy the need for jobs? They haven't been on a farm. They only see it in pictures, or they read in social media about the idiosyncrasies of agriculture. How do you connect the dots between where they are, where agriculture is, and what could be in their future?
I think as an agriculture, an educator of any type, you've got to get them exposure and experience. You know, when I was teaching at Seneca, my students had zero exposure being on a farm whatsoever. So getting them out there to see what it's like, to see why we do the practices that we have. Why do we dock tails? You know, why do we do all these things in agriculture that we do, so that they can have an understanding of it, and then get them to fall in love with it. You know, if you're passionate about it, you can take any kid and get them excited about it and get them to fall in love with agriculture, whether they're from an urban background or a rural background. It's just getting that excitement, that momentum there. But they need to be able to see it. It's not just, let's show it on social media. We need them out there actually doing it, going to the farm or going to an agribusiness or whatever it may be, and interacting with those folks, who live it every single day.
Kentucky Farm Bureau says you're the Farm Woman of the Year. How do you receive that?
I think it's an honor because there's so many women that I know and across the state, that are just as deserving of this award, as I am, you know. And I'm think about, you know, what my husband and I did. We basically started from scratch. We didn't own any land. No one gave us any land. We started small. We bought our first farm that was 50 acres. And then, in 2020, we bought 105 acres and just kind of took baby steps so we could get to the point, where we're at. So I truly believe that, you know, anybody can do that. It just takes time and takes a lot of hard work and dedication to get to that point. And there's so many others that have a story similar to ours. And when I go out and I feed every day, and everything that I do on the farm, I enjoy it. It's something that I look forward to, you know, that when it's my time to go outside, like, I'm excited to do it. I enjoy being out there, and it's one of the best things that we can do is to be able to take care of God's creatures.
Do you use buckets when you feed?
The sows we hand feed.
Yeah. So you know the sound of the bale of a bucket.
Uh-huh.
When it falls over and hits the side, that,
yeah,
thump, thump, thump. Every time I hear that, it takes me back to the feedlot on the farm,
mm-hmm,
feeding the livestock with Granddad.
Yeah.
So now as you're in the classroom and you're looking at these young minds, do you get flashbacks of being in the truck with your dad? Do you get flashbacks of being on that 2240? Do you get flashbacks of those days as an encouragement to do what you do?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's the sounds, there's the smells, you know, too, in agriculture, that a certain smell, you're, if it's not something like hog manure is pretty consistent, but, you know,
depends on the price of the hog.
Yeah, true. but there's certain aromas, certain times of the year that things smell a certain way. That just takes you back to those memories, the core memories that you have. And of course, you know, I think about all the time that I spent on the farm. Obviously, you can't remember every single thing that you did, but there's certain core memories that really shape who you are, or you think back to your experiences on the farm. Is this is how we did this, or, you know, the time I almost went over the hill, you know, driving the square bell, or you think back to those stories like that. So absolutely, I think, and I hope my children have those memories with me. Hopefully they're all good memories, but, you know, certain things that happened or certain smells and aromas that are on the farm, because it just makes it so unique compared to other careers.
Oh, the dew on a pasture in the morning, mm-hmm. or in a hay field freshly after cut. You know, I didn't enjoy when it was muddy in the feed a lot in the wintertime, but, you know, the nurturing that you would see between a mama cow and her calf, there are just things and pictures, the sounds of my granddad calling the cattle in the morning, mm-hmm. to the barn to be fed, and to see them respond to what I would say the shepherd's voice. Those are things that I'll never replace. But moving then, you have seen more female ag teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen more females in agriculture class. And in Farm Bureau, I think we've gone from seeing the females be the social coordinators of making sure there were desserts and food and things like that, and arranging the tables and decorating. The farm woman plays a huge role in the success of Farm Bureau today.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that responsibility and the need to train up women and encourage and empower women to stand up for this industry?
Absolutely. I mean, with our operation, my husband and I work together every single day. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't need to be off the farm to do something, or vice versa. So either one of us need to be versed in that. And I think that's important. You know, I look back on my own parents. My dad farmed full time, but my mother wasn't really interested, you know, in being on the farm. She was raised on a farm, but she didn't just have the interest, I guess, like I would, to be outside doing all the things on the farm. And even my grandmother's generation, you know, women back then were not seen as the workers on the farm. And my grandfather, he got sick pretty young, had a heart attack, and she had to take over the farm. And I would hear stories of her, you know, working like a man, would be said. But I think, you know, today it's all equal. And we need women, you know, just as much as men. I think about my own strengths. I'm really good with animals, you know, the compassion, the care. I notice things that other people don't tend to notice. And the other people that work on our farm are all men, including my husband. They don't pick up on those skills. But if you ask me to build something, that's not something I want to do. You know, I'd rather go do anything else other than build something and put it together on the farm. So those strong suits, you've got to have the women there to be able to notice some of those things. And I'm not saying all women are good at the same things I am, but everybody has their strong suits where they can play a vital role in the farming operation. It's just kind of figuring out that balance. And across the board, we need everybody, you know, women, men, and children to be involved in agriculture, whether that's advocating or if it's, you know, doing the work on the farm. We need every single person we can get.
I appreciate some of the studies that have been done that talk about how believable a farmer is,
mm-hmm.
when they're talking. That genuinely people want to know where their food comes from, and especially you're raising animals for Whole Foods. That tells us that people really want to know more about their food. But when we listen to the people who are talking, it's obvious also they would listen to the farm wife.
Mm-hmm.
They would listen to the female farmer first. Do you think there's a calling now for women like yourself to tell the story of agriculture and tell the story where food comes from?
Absolutely. I mean, I do that all the time with our hog operation, with the freezer pork, and now with the hogs that are going, you know, to Whole Food. A lot of people that are buying from the freezer side of things, they want to know how the hogs are raised. Do we, you know, give them any antibiotics? All those types of things. And I think that's extremely important with the type of consumer that we have today. They want to know how the animals are cared for. And they want to hear that perspective. And I think, you know, as a mother talking to another mother, that probably comes across a little bit better than if it was a man addressing a group of women saying, oh yeah, your children will love this. You know, this is how we do XYZ. But as a mother, I guess it gives it a different perspective.
As a swine producer, do you have anything to hide? Is there anything you don't want them to know about your operation?
No.
It's all above board.
Yeah. I had a group of ag teachers out this summer, to do a tour. And then, this fall, I had a group of students from Seneca come out and do a tour, of the farm too. So we allow visitors so they can see, you know, exactly what we're doing. And with the commercial hog operation, we're also spot checked too. So they can come in anytime. We just had one a couple of weeks ago and they won't tell you. It's random. Come in and make sure everything is up to their standards.
Okay. Last question for you. And it's a similar question to what I asked you before. What does it mean to you as a farm daughter, as a farm wife, as a mother? What does it mean to you for Kentucky Farm Bureau to have said you're the farm woman of the year? What's it mean to you in here?
I guess it justifies, you know, a little bit of everything that I've kind of worked for in my entire life to get to this point and recognize everything, you know, that we've done on the farm and how much we've grown the operation. And it's a blessing, I mean, to be recognized. It's a great honor because this is, as a woman, this is one of the top honors that you can get with Kentucky Farm Bureau, is to be named the Farm Woman of the Year. And again, there's so many other women that are just as deserving, as I am to receive this honor. So I hope if nothing else, it'll inspire younger women, and encourage them to be involved in the farming operation, day to day like I am and be hands on.